Thank you for being here with us. And again, they'll be here tonight. We'll have them sing more than they did this morning tonight. So please come back. We'll have a great service this evening. Looking forward to it. And we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time together here in the house of the Lord. And then if you're joining us via the radio, I forget to mention that oftentimes, but this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here in Gray, Tennessee. And we're certainly glad that you've joined us, being broadcast live. And thank you for joining us via live stream as well. And then thank each of you for being here today. We're excited to have you here. We're going to look in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, second book of the Bible, easy to find, but Exodus 2, we'll look at the first verse there. While you're finding your place in Exodus 2, I did hear this story about years and years ago. This little boy rode his bike to the pharmacy because he didn't have a phone at his house, and he rode his bike to the pharmacy, and he asked the pharmacist, "Can I borrow your phone?" He knew the boy around, and he said, "Sure, you can do that." And so he called, asked this lady, and he said, "Ma'am, do you? I'd like to mow your grass. I know where you live there on the corner of Maple Street." Said, "I would like to mow your grass." And she said, "Can I mow your grass for $15?" And she said, "No, I already have somebody. I already have a boy that mows it for $15." And he said, "Well, but I can do it. I can do it promptly." She said, "No, I'm fine with the boy that mows it." And he said, "Well, I could mow it for $10." And she answered back, said, "No, I'm still fine with the boy that mows for 15. He's been doing it for a long time, does a good job." Said, "Well, ma'am," said, I could really do it. I could mow it for $7. I could all be half of what he does." And she said, "No, I'm still happy with the young man that does it. He's here in the neighborhood, and I like him, and he does it. And so we'll just leave it with that." And so he gets off the phone. Pharmacist says, "Son, if you need a job, if you need money, I can have you. I can pay you to come mow my grass, and you can do it for whichever price that you mentioned." And he said, "Oh, no. I already mow Mrs. Smith's yard. I just want to call and check up on my customers, make sure they were happy with me." So, Exodus chapter number 2, we're going to look at verse number 1, and we'll look down to about verse number 10. And this is the wonderful story about Jochebed. Her name is not mentioned here, but it's another place of Scripture. That's Moses' mother. And I want to preach for a little while about Jochebed and how she was such an example. "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw it, the ark of the among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" I'm thankful for the almighty hand of God, the providential hands of God that we get to see here in this passage of Scripture. You've just read with me the place where Moses was put out in that water and God protected him all the way through there. I think about how we get to read the story from this side and say, "Oh, wow, what a wonderful story. I'd have done the same thing. Put him right out in that little boat of a thing and just put him out in the river." It's easy to say that now because we get to see the other side of it. But Jochebed, not so sure. Again, Jochebed is Moses' mother, listed in another passage by name. But you know, I see that there are things that happen to her and all the torment she must have lived through to do this to her little baby. Simply put him out to where God was the only one that could take care of him. My in-laws, I got to see him briefly on our way back. Amy and I stopped and stayed in Murfreesboro Friday night and then came home yesterday. And they've been married, I think, 67 years, and thank the Lord for their faithfulness. But way back when, they didn't know how it was all going to turn out. back then, like it is today, there was troubles that come into marriage, and they could certainly see some of the things that could have happened. But like people getting married today, you say, well, this could happen. But you just got to give that to the Lord. And if you're following and walking in the Lord's will and in His way, you just got to say, I'm going to let it go. And I want to tell you this, if you find yourself in a position this morning where there's some things that are troubling you, I want to give you the best advice I possibly can, and that is to give it all to the Lord. I'm going to preach for just a little while about this. Jochebed gave it all. The Allstate Insurance Company says, if you're in our hands, you're in good hands. Well, I don't know whether they're a good company or not. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But I know if you're in God's hands, you're really in good hands. Lord, bless us now is our prayer. As we look at Jochebed, how she gave it all to you, and I pray, dear Lord, that we would learn some wonderful truths that would help us in our lives, because, dear Lord, I'm convinced that there are people sitting right here, some listening by radio or live stream, watching, that need to give it all to you. Lord, I believe we hold it back, and I think that we do that to our detriment. Bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. She gave her most treasured possession to God. You see, Jochebed's other children, apparently, at least the sister, were older and they were able to take care. And she had this little baby that was illegal to have. And she had everything in her hopes and her dreams and her love all wrapped up in that little baby. And she went down to the river's brink and put him in the water. She did all that she could, but she gave everything that she had to God. I'm wondering if I'm not thankful for as much as I should be thankful for, because I'm still trying to hold on to some things. You see, when Jochebed got to the place where all she could do was give everything that she had to God, then God was the only one that she could rely on to make it work out and be safe and secure in God's arms, because He was no longer going to be in her arms. Maybe I'm trusting in self too much. I believe there's a group of people, or else God wouldn't have led me to preach this message. I believe there's a group of people that we are holding on to things too much. Meaning we're trying to figure out how it's all going to happen. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get it done. We're trying to decide what I should do next. And some of us ought to just say, I'm not going to decide what I should do next. I'm going to let God lead me in what He wants me to do next. And I say this morning, that Jochebed got it all. Number one, I realized this, that she realized she couldn't do it alone. You know, that'd be a good place for us to get to today, when you and I realize we can't do it on our own. I don't know if you're trying to hold your marriage together. I don't know if you're trying to start a new home together with somebody. I don't know if you're trying to see some children through some rough air that they're going through. I don't know if your financial woes are surmounting up to such a point you feel like you're going to drown. I don't know what it is, but I noticed that Jochebed realized that she couldn't do it alone. In verse number 3, it tells us that. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And you know that a mother would do this with such love, that she would do everything she could to make that basket just as good as it possibly could be. If she had ever weaved other baskets, this one was the most special. If she had ever tried to make a little waterproof raft or something for some purpose, this was better than all the rest. She did everything that she could, but she did have to figure out she could not do it alone. And my friend, I've come to tell you this morning that the problems in life that you're currently having, you can't do them alone either. You can't make it on your own. God is the one that wants to help you, and there are also some friends that will help you, but we find that she realized that she could not do it alone. You remember the Bible story about when Jesus took the fish and the bread of the little boy that came in there? The disciple came and brought it to Jesus, and Andrew, as he brought it to Jesus, he said to Jesus, "This ain't much." That's the West Virginia version of what it says in the Bible. Well, what are these among so many? What are these among so many? There's all these people here. How can we do anything with this to help all of these people? And Andrew brought it. And a lot of people got surprised that day. I believe they did. But nobody more surprised than Andrew and the little boy. Because for all the other people knew, there were 1,000 other little boys had their lunch. But Andrew and that little guy, they knew that all that was feeding this crowd was Jesus' ability. Because before Jesus' ability, all they had was a couple fish and some loaves of bread. They realized that they were going to feed a whole lot more by giving it to God than they were going to feed if they kept it to themselves. And I'm telling you this morning that you ought to realize, and I ought to realize, that we can't do it on our own. We can't make it through the decisions that you're trying to make. You're trying to rack your brain, and you and I are trying to do like the world does. Well, we've got a pros list and a cons list. Here's why I should do this. Here's why I shouldn't do this. And you are trying to go over it and rehash it and figure it out and try to come to the conclusions on your own. Can I tell you that you ought to get to a place where you just let it go and you give it to God? You say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I do know this. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how to raise these kids. I don't know how to keep this marriage together. I don't know how to make all these bills. I don't know how to make the next navigational move that I need to make in my business, but I do know who does know. And Jochebed realized that she could not do it on her own. She gave this little boy to God. And you know why she gave him to God? She loved him too much not to. The most selfish thing Jochebed could have done was said, I'm going to keep him right here, because sooner or later those soldiers were going to find him. And because she loved him so much, she did the only thing that she could think of, but the scariest thing she could think of, and that was just put him out on that river. She realized she couldn't do it on her own, but not only that, she recognized that the care of God... She recognized the care of God when she couldn't see the plan. It's one thing from us to look back at the story now, as I already mentioned. It's us to say, oh, that's what I'd have done too. But if Jochebed had had a little prayer meeting with the other ladies and said, you know what, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And they said, honey, what are you talking about? There's a crocodile in that river. Alligators, whichever one's there. You can't do that. Something's going to come up and snatch that boy away. She said, I don't know what else to do. She said, I'm just going to put him out to God's care and provision and protection. I'm going to put him out, because she realized and recognized the plan of God wasn't seen, but she did realize that the care of God was there even when she couldn't see the plan. And my friend, you and I are going to have to decide that even when we can't see how God's going to get it done, we're going to have to trust that God will get it done. And so we realize that she laid him in the flags by the river's brink. And again, we look at it and say, oh yeah, sure, the Pharaoh's daughter, his granddaughter's going to come by, going to hear him cry, and then she's going to bring him out. But all the story hadn't been told at that point. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback. It's easy to be the Monday morning quarterback after the says, well, they should have done this and they should have done this. That's a right play right there. But when that quarterback or whoever else was making the play, he certainly didn't know it was the right play at that point. He was just hoping, trusting, and thinking that it was going to work. And then afterwards is when you say, that was a good idea. And we look at Jochebed and say, that was a good idea. Jochebed, you made the right call, but she didn't have anybody cheering her on at that point. Why do you think Moses' little big sister was over on the river brink just in case mom's plan failed? Why else would she just be watching and watching? She was going to watch as long as she could possibly watch, because she wasn't so sure about her mom's plan. But Jochebed recognized the care of God even when she did not know the plan of God. When I was a young child, it was brought to my mom and dad's attention that there was some surgery that was needed on my heart. I was too little to make the decision, and dad said, I don't think that I would do it if it were me. If he was older, I would let him decide, but I don't think I would. And they opted not to do the open heart surgery that they thought they needed, and thankfully, and as God deemed it to be his will, age took care of that, and the issues that were there got remedied by just normal growth. And my parents didn't know the plan of God, but they did know that they had the care of God. And my friend, I'm just trying to tell us that you may not know how it's all going to pan out. You may not know how it's all going to work out, but you and I serve a God who knows the beginning from the end, the front from the back, the right from the left. There is nowhere that he is not. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that's outside of his reach of power. And we can recognize the care of God even when we can't see the plan of God. All we know is that Jochebed knew that she couldn't take care of this boy. She couldn't let the Egyptians murder him. She didn't know where to go from there. But she said, I'm going to put him into the best hands that I know. She could trust God. And I'm asking you this morning, as we're gathered together, are you turning your burden over to the Lord? Are you giving to God what you don't know what else to do with it? That future, that problem, that puzzling question. Have you got to a place where you say, God, I don't know what to do with it. I'm giving it to you. You know the old joke when it says that a fellow went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, he was a Christian. He said, well, you're in bad shape. I think what we need to do is pray. And the patient said, oh, no, doc, has it come to that? We often use, as you've heard, prayer as the last resort instead of the first response. But whatever you've got going on in your life, you may not see how God's going to work it out. You may not know how He's going to finish it through. But my friend, I'm challenging you today, like Jochebed carefully put that ark out into the water, that you put your issue, your problem, your concern, whatever's going on, your family issue, your business issue, I'm challenging you to put it out and recognize this, that you can know and be convinced of the care of God even when you can't see the plan of God. I give you this last one. She understood this, and this is where some of us are hung up. She understood that some danger with God's will was better than safety without it. Because you know she was a mother, and if she was doing everything she could, if she kept this baby for these months against the will and the laws of the land, she was a fierce, loving mother. But she knew she'd gone as far as she could go. She knew she had done as much as she could do. And she had to get to a place where she launched him out. Was there danger? Yes. Were there a great amount of things that could happen and she'd so worried about? Yes. But she realized that the care of God and some danger with that was better than the safety. The best that she could do, keeping that baby safe, was not very good. And she realized that the care of God was better than the safety that she could provide. Now, I'll give you this last illustration. Well over a century ago, years ago, there was a group of missionaries, and they were deemed by some scoffers one-way missionaries. One-way missionaries because they never planned on coming back to the homeland. So much so that they packed their belongings in wood coffins. A.W. Milne was one of these missionaries, and he went to the South Pacific Islands. And these one-way missionaries, they would load up their stuff, saying goodbye to their family and their friends, assuming that it was the last time that they would see him on this earth. A.W. Milne packed his stuff in that coffin and got on a ship and eventually made it an island in the South Pacific. He ministered there for 35 years, and true to his calling, true to his title that scoffers had given him, he was a one-way missionary. He never came back. They buried him in the village that he labored in for so many years. And they buried him on his little crude gravestone. They put a sign that said, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." A.W. Milne knew that there was a lot of danger, but he recognized and realized and understood that some danger with God's will was much better than the safety without God's will. And there are some people in this room, I'm just as sure as I'm standing here, there are people in this room that you are playing it safe. You are not wanting to reach out and do what God has already nudged your heart to do. Because at this current place, you feel like you can keep it all right here. Just like Jochebed did. She could keep Moses right here. But Jochebed finally understood that some danger with God's will was better than the safety without it. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your grandchild. And you know that they need to branch out and go do something for the Lord, but it's so hard to let them go. I'm telling you what Jochebed realized, that safety in God's will is better than safe than the safety or the danger there with God's will is much better than a little bit of safety that you and I can provide. Jochebed learned that God's will is better than anything else. Jochebed didn't know how God was going to take care of Moses, but he did. Jochebed gave it all to God. And she knew that as she was wishing that baby out, can you imagine? I sometimes think about what she would have been saying to that baby as she put him down that ark and then put him in the water. I imagine, the Bible does not say, but I imagine she must have said something to this little baby who wouldn't have understood possibly, but said, "I'm doing the best that I possibly know I can do." And as I said, we all love the story because we know how it ended up, but she did not have that assurance. She said, "This is the best that I can do." And I'm sure she kissed his little head and sent him on. And as many have said over the years, go with God. She said, "Oh God, please go with my boy." She gave all that she had to God. And I'm just convinced that there's some people in this room that whatever area in your life you're trying to hold on to, figure it out, get it done, make it happen, just like Jochebed had to take her hands off of that little ark, you need to take your hands off of some things in your life and say, "God, your will be done, not mine." Father, I pray that you'd bless us this morning. Lord, I know we can trust you. Lord, I realize that like Jochebed found out of old, that you can be trusted. When you can't always be traced, as the song says, we can trust you. Lord, I pray that you would help some people in this room and help me. Lord, sometimes we can't figure it all out, but we know the one that's got it figured out. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would give it all to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. If you're here and you're a Christian, you know the Lord, is there something that the Lord has knocked on your heart's door about? Then if there is, I challenge you, just do business with the Lord. Make it right. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven, but you also feel some knock at your heart's door. Can I tell you, my friend, that that's the Lord Jesus wanting to be your Savior? Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says that no one can enter into heaven. Instead, you'd be responsible for your own sins, and you'd have to pay up at the end of life for all of those in a horrible place called hell. But Jesus died so you would not have to pay for any of those. Died in your place to be your Savior. And if you'd cry out to Jesus Christ, you'd call on His name and ask Him to be your Savior and to forgive your sins. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If that's you today, I challenge you to receive Christ as your Savior. As Brother Dave begins to play and our organ begins to play, if God's speaking to your heart, don't pass this moment up. My Christian friend, while you're there meditating, praying, thinking, is there something in your life that you just need to give to God? Maybe it's that grandchild. You don't see how it's going to happen. You don't see how it's going to work out. My friend, Jochebed had no idea how it was going to work out, but she had all confidence in God. Would you give it to Him? Would you give it over to Him? I don't know how it's going to work out either. I don't know how that custody, I don't know how that marriage, I don't know how it's all going to work out. But I know who does know. Would you give it to Him? Would you stand together with me if you're able to today? And you make it easy on somebody to get out if they need to. You say, "Preacher, does a person need to come to the altar?" They don't need to. But it's certainly a wonderful place to get some alone time, some wonderful decisions have been made at these steps of this altar. Christian friend, would you lead the way? There could be somebody that you would encourage as you come that they might come as well. Really, I preached on faith because Jochebed had enough faith to put Moses out there. Do you have enough faith to follow Jochebed's example and just give it to the Lord? I trust you do. One last request. If you're here and you're unsaved, I mentioned it briefly already, but I want to give you one last request. If you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, you're not sure, let me put it this way, if something were to happen to you today that you'd be on your way to heaven, you have some doubts about it. If that's you, would you simply just slip out? Brother Daniel standing right here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. He, or if you're a lady, have a lady deal with you that would show you from the Bible. You see, our church can't save anybody, but Jesus would save everyone, anyone that would call on Him. If you're here, you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? As he plays one more verse, this verse is for you if God's dealing with your heart. I'd hate to see somebody leave this room not sure that they're on their way to heaven. Maybe you're saved and you need to be baptized. You'd like to come present yourself for that. We'd do it in a service real soon. Maybe you feel led to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. Would you come? We're just going to have him play one more verse. This one's yours. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, would you come? Thank you so much for what you've done in our midst today. Bless us now as we head out for our homes just a little bit. Pray that you give us a wonderful rest of the day. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint the service this evening with your touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. I wanted to mention to be praying for Brother Phil Deacons. He's back here and he'll have... They'll shock his heart tomorrow, try to get it back in rhythm, so please keep him in your prayers. He goes in the morning, and then Brother Bob Bishop asks us to pray for his wife, Pat. She goes in for an MRI tomorrow, and they need to do some testings and things on the veins, so please keep Pat Bishop in your prayers as well. And again, what a joy to have you here. Brother Ed, Miss Debbie, you all want to slip back to the table so you can be there. And for those archaic, you're never going to believe this, but Ed Russ started recording music when they used to use this little plastic device that had a magnetic tape that went from reel to reel. He actually used to get his pencil and rewind all of those little cassettes and get them ready for shipping. So it's been a joy to be here today. Thank you for being here. It's a joy for Amy and I to be back. We missed everybody on Wednesday and Sunday night. But again, thank you for praying. I certainly appreciate it being our representative to Triple West Christian Ranch from here at Buffalo Ridge. And we had a great time. Thank you for being in church. I invite you back tonight at 6:30. And we'll have some great, great singing. We have a Bible message. And I think choir practice at 5:30 before then. But we'll look forward to a great time. God bless you. You're dismissed.